my family had to travel about 6 hours to see either set of our grandparents. So, if we went every month or two, we had quite a bit of traveling in the car. It was my mom, my dad, and then it was us four kids. And we all would ride in like an Oldsmobile Delta 88 was, I guess, one of our cars. So my mom and dad would be in the front seat. My youngest brother would be on the armrest or the hump in the middle of the front seat. And then the rest of us, the three of us, would be across the back seat. I was the oldest. And you really get tired of your siblings on a six-hour car ride. Really get tired of them. So I don't know if you remember this or not, but those big back seats in those cars, they had, very often they had, you know, little strips where the different fabric was separated, you know. So you had this seat, and then you had a little strip and then fabric for the next seat, and then another strip and fabric for the last seat. And being the oldest, I would make a rule. I would say, you know what, this divider right here, this strip, this is a wall of separation. Do not cross this wall or there will be consequences. Do not cross or else was the way that I would put it. I'm sure my siblings really appreciated me as an older brother. I was not a nice older brother. Anyway, we're all together on this journey of life. And maybe for you, on this journey, you have faced a wall of separation in one way or another when it comes to church and when it comes to faith. This wall of separation, it could have been put up by somebody else. It could have been erected by somebody else so that they let you know that this is a line that you shall not cross. You don't belong. You don't fit in. Maybe you've been told that you're not part of the right family, or you didn't have the right upbringing, or maybe you didn't have the right heritage. You know, I have been a minister now for 16 years, and during that time, I've been able to serve two churches, but I've been able to interview with many more during process when I first became a minister and in the process of finding a church. Before I found this one, I had interviews. And there was one interview that I was at that wasn't going very well. And I kind of just stopped and I asked them, I said, hey, do you think that I would fit in here? From the looks that I got, the answer was no. And that was pretty much the end of the interview. It did not go well. And I don't know for sure, but I think there were two different things that stuck out for them. One of them, I think, major, and another one minor. We'll start with the minor. Like I said earlier, I'm staying on a pedestal, right? One of the things that I heard in interviews the most, you're not quite as tall as we thought that you should be. Apparently, pastors need to be tall. Wyatt's got this. He's got a leg up already in the interview process. I heard that more than anything. You're just not quite as tall as you looked on the video. So that's the minor one, that one. But the major one, this was an area, if you didn't have the right last name, you might not fit in. And I didn't have a V at the beginning of my name. My last name's Lang. There's not any V's anywhere near my last name. I guess the point here for this one is maybe you've felt like you have been judged as an outsider. You're not an insider, but an outsider when it comes to church and faith. It could be the other way, too. We could be talking about a wall that you erected yourself. This wall could be built on your own sin. It could be built on your own doubts. Maybe the truth of God hits you hard. Maybe for you, the wall of separation has to do with social anxiety, or there's something in you that you're just unwilling to pull that wall that separates you from God and separates you from the family of God. You're just not willing to bring that wall down. You like that barrier. Or maybe you've put up your own roadblock so that maybe you're partly connected, but I don't know if I really want to be fully connected into the vine. You know, for me, I hated church. When I was younger, I absolutely hated church. And I was 100% unwilling to listen to anything about God's master plan of salvation. Absolutely unwilling. Well, today, we're going to talk about a wall of separation that had to be overcome in the early church, right after it got started. A wall of separation that had to come down, and God had this plan since the beginning of time, and it's an awesome story. We're going to start off by hearing a message that the Apostle Peter spoke. So, we're going to read that, and then I'm going to talk about how Peter got to this message, and then also talk about the results. So, let's pray, and then we're going to read from Acts chapter 10. We're looking at verses 34 to 43. So, if you have brought your own Bible, feel free to open that. If you have an app on your phone, you can turn to Acts chapter 10. The Pew Bible in front of you also. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your wonderful, tremendous, and awesome holy word. Lord, we pray that you guide us today through it by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the message that Peter spoke. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Like I said, God has a sovereign plan in place, and God has a big picture view when it comes to his church and when it comes to salvation. Now, to give you an illustration on God having a big picture view, I asked my friend Alex to do this. All right, thank you, Alex. Our God has a big picture view, and God sees how all of us, as children of God, are connected together. It's not something that we can see, but it's something that He sees. Our Lord has that bird's eye view, and He has us in mind since the beginning. He has His blessing of salvation in mind from the beginning, and He has church and faith in mind from the beginning. And I had Alex do that because sometimes we get a narrow view of our perspective, but God's perspective is much higher than ours. I'm sure later on, if you stopped and talked with Alex, he could show you some footage of the kind of bird's eye view that his drone can give. It's interesting when you see things from a different perspective. God sees things from a higher perspective. And in our story today, God makes it clear to the Apostle Peter that He does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation. This is in contrast to what Peter grew up with. Now, how does God deal with this issue, a wall of separation? Well, we're going to have a story about two towns. Two towns with two different guys. The first town and first guy are Caesarea Maritima and a fellow named Cornelius. Caesarea Maritima is on the coast of Israel, on the Mediterranean Sea. It was a big center for everything Roman. When I was there, we got to sit in the Roman amphitheater. We got to stand where the Roman hippodrome was. This was a giant arena where they raced chariots. We got to stand right by the ocean where Herod the Great had his mansion by the sea, and you could still see the remnants of his freshwater pool that sat right next to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. So maybe you could go take a dip in the Mediterranean and then come sit in the freshwater pool. This was all back in the time of Jesus. Walking around there, this place was a Roman place. And there was a Roman man there. His name's Cornelius, and he was a soldier. He was a centurion. He was part of the Italian battalion. This is about as Roman as you can get. The Jewish folks would have considered him a Gentile. We talked about a wall of separation. He was on the other side of it. But this man, he recognized God as God. And because he recognized God as God, he lived a righteous life. So we have Cornelius. He is in Caesarea Maritima, and he is a Gentile. Now the second place and second man is the city of Joppa. Joppa is 37 miles south of Caesarea Maritima, and in Joppa was the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, he was an insider. He was Jewish. He was on the other side of the wall of separation. He was in Joppa at the time, probably escaping persecution. It was right before this that Stephen, one of the deacons, was stoned in Jerusalem, and many of the apostles and disciples fled. So we think that that's why he was in Joppa. So we have two men, two towns, and we have two very important things that happen. Two important things. The first one has to deal with Cornelius, who is north in Caesarea Maritima. He is visited by an angel in a vision. And the angel told him that he was to send men down to Joppa to find a fellow named Peter, who was staying at the home of Simon the Tanner. So, we have Cornelius, this Gentile. He gets a vision from God of an angel that tells him what to do, to go get Peter. So that was one important thing in this story. The second important thing, Peter, he has a vision too. And this vision, it's weird, but it's really meaningful for Peter. Let's see, I need to find kind of four people here. We can have somebody take one corner here. I can find the edges. All right. There you go. I'm going to take that corner. All right. So, I'll stand out of the way here. Peter has this weird vision involving a sheet. And he sees the sheet being lowered down from heaven to the ground. And on it were all kinds of unclean animals that Jewish people were not supposed to eat. That's the vision. And Peter, here, I'll hop out of the way here. Peter, seeing this, is probably wondering, what in the world is God trying to get at here? And God lets him know. He says, God says to Peter, get up and eat. And Peter's like, no way. I'm not supposed to eat any unclean animals. And then God says, do not call anything impure or unclean that I have made clean. All right, if you guys want to fold that back up or crumple it up and throw it in a corner, it'd be fine too. All right, thank you. So we had the two men, two cities, two events. We have this whole thing with the sheet with Peter, and you have the vision with an angel for Cornelius. Now, just as Peter wakes up from that vision, there are the men sent by Cornelius from Caesarea Maritima down to Joppa. They show up just as he's finishing with this vision. And they ask Peter to come with them. And Peter does. Peter comes with them. And they would have walked on a Roman road called the Way of the Sea. Like I said before, it's 37 miles. So I like to get a picture of what that is. That would be like walking from here to Slinger. Have any of you guys attempted to walk from here to Slinger? That's the walk that they would have taken, here to Slinger. I did look it up on Google. How long would it take to walk from here to Slinger without stopping? What do you think? If you walked at a leisurely pace, maybe 20 miles per hour, don't get your calculators out. Any ideas? What's that? Almost 14 hours to walk from here to Slinger. So they don't know if it took them a day or if they walked it in 2 days, but they walked from Joppa all the way up to Caesarea Maritima. And when Peter arrived, when he got to Caesarea Maritima, this is a huge deal. He entered Cornelius' house. A super big deal. Like I said, Peter grew up Jewish. And for Peter, and for everybody that was Jewish, they had some rules that they were to follow. One of them was that they were not supposed to eat any animals that were unclean. It was a big deal. You go through the Old Testament, and you can find all the different rules about which animals they could eat and which animals they can't eat. So they were bound to that. But Peter, having this vision, he is bound no more to that picture of the clean and unclean animals. The reason that he's not bound by that anymore? Well, God had placed that in the law so that the Jewish people would be set apart. They would be under the law. They would be under the teaching of the law. The law would be a schoolmaster to them until the time was right for the Savior to come. It was meant to keep the people of God together, following God, in place, separated from their neighbors until Jesus came. But now that Jesus has arrived, they're not bound to that any longer as a Jewish people. They can now eat unclean animals. Now, this is the big issue in the early church. The Jewish teachers along the way had taken some of that scripture involving clean and unclean animals, and they looked at some other scripture and they came up with their own idea that Gentiles are unclean and that you cannot enter their home. You can't find that in the Bible. But the Jewish teachers came up with that. We got to separate ourselves from those Gentile people too and not go in their homes. And God had set forth to bring down that wall of separation, to bring down that barrier. They were set apart until Jesus came, but now they are going to fulfill the original covenant that God had with Abraham, that through Abraham's seed, through Israel, they would be a blessing to the nations. So that wall that was built had to come down. And that's what's happening here. The wall was being torn down. The good news is for all of the people. For all the people. It's not about being in the right family. It's not about having the right last name, or even the right upbringing, or the right heritage. There's no longer insiders and outsiders. No past sin is too great. No past doubt too great. And there shouldn't be any roadblocks between you and Jesus and the people of God. So Peter says, with a changed heart, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but rather God accepts from every nation those that fear him and do what is right. What Peter is talking about here is a heart that is ready for the gospel. Cornelius, God had been working in him, and he had a heart that was ready for the gospel. You know, sometimes when I talk with people that don't believe in Jesus, they ask this one critical question. What if there's somebody around the world that has not been exposed to the gospel of Jesus yet? And they have a heart that fears the Lord and they do what is right. Like this Cornelius fellow. What about them? Will they be saved? I believe that if God is working in their heart and they have a fear of the Lord and because of it are doing what is right, I believe that God will send them the gospel, just like he did here. They will hear the good news of Jesus. And we know that's happening around the world and in our own community too, because people are sent to spread the good news of Jesus all over the place. I believe that God will send them the gospel, and they will hear it, and they will accept it, and they will become our brothers and sisters in Christ. God does an incredible work here in Cornelius' life, in Peter's life. He does it in our lives, and he'll do it in their lives also, drawing people to himself in Jesus alone, by faith alone. I've talked about this before, but he did it with me. Like I said, I had a wall of separation in my heart. I hated the idea of church. I disliked the idea of God, and I didn't want anything to do with any of it. But God opened my heart, and he changed my mind. How did he do that? He sent Dan Paxton, a fellow named Dan Paxton, to preach the truth about Jesus. And God brought me to that church that day so that I would hear the message. I would accept it and become one of your fellow brothers. God sends the gospel out through his people. So, what we read a little bit earlier, that was what Peter preached to Cornelius. That's what he brought to Cornelius, to Cornelius' family, and to Cornelius' friends. He brought the gospel, a summary of it. Now, some people today, they might think that the gospel is social transformation, that the gospel is all about dealing with poverty, discrimination, inequality, these kinds of things, that that's the gospel. Other people might say that the gospel is really just all about prosperity. It's about having your health and wealth and all of your dreams being fulfilled, that that's the gospel. Others might say that the gospel is all about self-help, making you feel better, becoming a better person, that you can do some self-improvement with the gospel, how you feel, how you think. But this is really just merely religious therapy. The gospel is what Peter told Cornelius here. He talked about how John the Baptist led the way for Jesus, and that how Jesus, when he was baptized, everybody could see clearly that he comes with the Holy Spirit and with power. How Jesus has power over the devil, and how Jesus was hung on a cross, and how he rose on the third day, and how he is the one who will judge the living and the dead. And he is the one who was spoken of by the prophets, and it's through Jesus, by faith, that we will receive all of his benefits, that we will have salvation and grace and God's love and joy and peace and perseverance and right relationship with the Father because of the forgiveness of sins that he gives us. And all of this is new life. That is the gospel. If somebody ever wants you to tell it to them, that's what it is. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. And whatever wall you think exists, or who you're talking to, or what they think exists, it doesn't. Whatever walls you've erected, it's time to tear them down and to let God work in your life. The door is open, the gospel to the whole world and to you too. The dividing wall is broken down. Cornelius, he came to faith. He received the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized and counted among us as a brother in Christ, and many more did that day too. So, I had a bad experience in an interview. But have I ever told you about the interview that I had here? So, I'm sure there's a few of you that were on the Zoom call that'll get a good chuckle out of this, but my first interaction with this church was on a Zoom call. And you know, when you're looking at another church and at an existing one, you don't do a Zoom call in your office. It's not a good idea. So I decided that I would do it at home in my bedroom, and I had everything all set up. My wife, I can't remember what the circumstances were, but she had to be somewhere else. So my wife was gone. I had the Zoom call in the bedroom, and our three kids were home. And I told them, like the whole day before this, kids, I don't care if you guys are bleeding. Don't come in the bedroom while I'm on this call. Do not come in. Well, guess what? In the middle of the interview, my kids tromp in and I had to deal with it. I'd already had a bad interview before, and then I had a bad interview again. But you know what? They called me back. They called me back. And my hope is that for you, this is a church that will call you back to, where you feel like you belong because you do. This is a place for me, and I hope it's a place for you too. Shall we pray?